a day off tomorrow, and maybe hopefully you get a little bit of rest from your regular labor. But we've got several out traveling and gone, but we're glad you're here this morning. You make up, if you're a guest with us visiting, you make up when our folks are gone. So we're glad you're here, especially to be with us today. We're going to be doing something a little bit different this morning in the sermon. We're really going to be doing some family business, taking care of some family business, talking about who we are as a church and how we can grow as a congregation of God's people, both numerically and spiritually. And so we are going to be thinking about desiring the Word, God's Word, you know, every week. And let's see if we can do it. You have your Bibles, church? Every week. Hold them up now. Let's see them. Thank you. Thank you. Every week. And you can turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. We'll get over there in just a little bit. But again, it's going to be a little bit different this morning in our lesson. Every week, I stand before you and I ask you to hold up your Bibles. And I really hope it's not something that you think is just kind of a gimmicky or showy. Because I really believe with all of my heart that this is the inspired Word of God. And I believe with all of my heart that if we will commit ourselves to being followers of Jesus Christ, and Jesus tells us in John 8 and 31 and 32, you have to abide in my Word if you're going to be a disciple. And we really believe that this is so critical of a mark of who we are as a congregation here at Crosstown in Churches of Christ, that we take the inspired, inerrant, authoritative Word of God as a church and in our individual Christian lives. And I hope that as we hold that Bible up, it reminds us of who we are, whose we're under. But I also want us to think this morning about how we do grow through the Word of God. Because we as a congregation, as the leadership here at Crosstown, we want to see this congregation grow. We wanted to see it grow numerically, and we would love to see those numbers every week on the board and in the bulletin just go up each week. We want that. But we also realize that God has given us how that growth is to take place. And it is to take place proportionally. That is corresponding to something very important. And we believe that that growth corresponds proportionally to the Word of God. This is the seed of God's Word. Luke 8:11 tells us that in the parable of the sower. And if we plant the Word of God in our hearts, it will produce Christians. It will produce the kind of Christians that God wants us to be. And we believe that if we plant the Word of God, the New Testament of Jesus Christ especially, that it will grow the Lord's church, it'll grow this congregation that meets here at this location. And so we want to get serious about that. You know, we have this wonderful new logo and a mission statement here that we've come up with this past year to reflect God's glory, to transform lives, to share Christ. Well, if we're going to do that, and if we're going to grow spiritually and numerically as a church, we're going to have to get serious about the Word of God. We're going to have to get serious about being spiritual, developing our spiritual lives. And we can't just do that through programs and through congregational activities. That's got to be something individually that every member commits to, is to developing themselves spiritually through a number of activities, a number of ways, but most especially, primarily, our spiritual growth is going to come proportionately corresponding to how much time we're in God's Word. Reading it, thinking about it, contemplating it, and putting it into practice, we're talking about. And I believe that this is supported by all of the leading church growth studies that have been done in recent years. That for churches and individual members, Christians to grow, they have to take ownership of their spiritual life and become spiritual self-feeders. They have to feed themselves, learn how to feed themselves spiritually from the Word of God, to read it, to understand what they're reading, to apply it, to contemplate it, and to put it into practice. All of the growth research indicates this. In 2011, Lifeway Christian Ministries, which has the bookstore and very prominent in the Southern Baptist Convention, they have a lot of great resources at their disposal. And so the Lifeway Ministry did a study called the Transformational Discipleship Assessment. And here's what they found as they studied. Here's the bad news, first of all. Their research found that only 19% of Christians that they surveyed and polled reported reading the Bible or studying the Bible every day outside of church, outside of the times of corporate assembly. Only 19%. They also found that only 36% said that they either engage in the Word only once a week or once a month or a few times a month. So 36% said, we only do it once a month, maybe a couple of times a month. Only 19% said they engaged in reading the Bible every day outside of the church gathering. 41% of these Christians, these are Christians, said they rarely or never read or study the Bible outside of a public corporate worship assembly. 41%. Neil McConnell says about this research and that they found, Bible engagement encompasses more than just Bible reading. It measures the extent to which individuals interact with the truth of Scripture and allows it to permeate their thinking, influence their actions. There is widespread desire among churchgoers to please Jesus, but much less interested in daily wrestling with what Jesus has said. Instead of Christ being preeminent in the lives of every churchgoer, He is often only the preamble to lives lived apart from the biblical truth. Another recent survey from the Willow Creek Association, and they have some 15,000 churches, evangelical churches, 15,000 churches, in a recent a study that they did, which talks about how lives can be transformed, Christian living, transformation, and the impact of the Bible reading. Here's what they found. The common models of activating spiritual growth, such as getting people involved in church activities, attending worship, participating in small groups, serving the needy, sharing your faith, or sharpening their beliefs about salvation, the authority of the Bible, the person of Jesus Christ, were helpful. That he says they were helpful. Church activities, church programs, ministries were helpful in doing that. But he says, not the most effective vehicle we have found for producing evidence of spiritual growth. They say the most powerful catalyst for moving people through the stages of spiritual growth, our research has found, is reading and reflecting on God's Word. It's saying you can have all of the programs, all of the ministries you want, and they can help produce some level of commitment. But the greatest catalyst for making people genuine, transformed disciples of Jesus Christ is reading and reflecting and putting into practice, making a commitment to put into practice the Word of God. What that tells us as a church is you don't have to have a big fancy budget. You don't have to have a bunch of highly trained and wonderful staff on hand. you got what you got here, okay? Me and Justin's great. You don't have to have a big fancy facility with million-dollar facility with 20 people on full-time staff. You don't have to have every program ministry under the sun. The catalyst primarily for growing in the church, in our Christian lives, is to reading, reflecting, and putting into practice the Word of God. And that's how it's always been. The early church abided, Acts 2:42, in the apostles' doctrine. They put themselves and they committed themselves to the Word of God and the teachings of the apostles. And I think that it's so critical Again, another author, Robert Wagner's book, The Shape of Faith to Come, has recently studied this. The greatest and most powerful catalyst for spiritual growth, no matter where you're at spiritually, is consistent and daily engagement with the Word of God. You want to get out of a spiritual rut? You have to engage with the Word of God and let God's Word speak to you and shape you and mold you. And as Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is living, it's active, it's powerful. This is not a dead book. This is a God-breathed book. And when I put the Word of God in my mind and I read it and I put it in my heart and I put it into practice, God can change me. God can transform me, my mind, my heart, my actions. And we as a church here at Crosstown, the eldership, the staff, we believe that needs to be front and center as a church. And so we have been looking at some things, and we are wanting to present something this morning that we're wanting to do and start in a couple of weeks. It's called the New Testament Challenge. It's something that I think is an incredible thing that can help us do just this very thing. Beginning on Monday, September the 22nd. So you've got a little over 3 weeks, okay? So we're laying the groundwork here early. On Monday, September the 22nd, going until Sunday, November the 23rd, that's 9 weeks. That's 63 days. We as a congregation, the leadership, we want to challenge, we want to admonish you, implore you. We want to read through the New Testament together every day for 9 weeks. Just one Bible, one church, 9 weeks. We have some men that are going to come down. I think our men are ready to come down and hand out these challenge cards. So if the men will come on down, some down all the way to the front and start handing these out. We want every visitor, member, if you're here this morning, we want our young people, our children, our youth to get a card. We're calling these the New Testament challenge cards. So we're going to have these men pass these down. We want you to pick one up here. We didn't want to put them in the foyer and say, pick one on your way out. We want to put this in your hands this morning. Again, we're doing something a little different as a church this morning. We think is very important. But on these cards, we're asking you to take the challenge. To take this challenge. You know, there's just something about a challenge. It seems like I've been seeing a lot on Facebook about ice bucket challenge, water challenge, cold water challenge, where people are, that thing is just spread like wildfire, if you know what I'm talking about, the ALS, ice bucket water challenge, and people donating to that cause for research, and you can see how that just spreads through so quickly, and people have a lot of fun doing that. Well, folks, we got a challenge for you this morning. We have the New Testament challenge we want to unveil here. And we want you to think about this. We want you to consider signing your name. Write your name on there and if you're willing to take this challenge. We have some things here on this card that we're asking you to consider. May not check every one of these, but to consider some of these. I will commit to reading the Scriptures every day for 9 weeks. I challenge you. We challenge you as a leadership to do that. And see if it'll make a difference. We know it'll make a difference. We're also offering what we're going to call the SOAP, a devotional format, SOAP, where we're going to have something out in the foyer in a couple of weeks on a board where you can pick up cards that will follow this SOAP format, where you can write down scriptures that touched you, that you may make an observation about, maybe make an application that you wanted to specifically write down. Maybe a prayer that you want to write out in response to what you've been reading when we go through this New Testament challenge. We're going to have on a board out there in the foyer, we're going to have to stick some cards we're going to put together, color cards that you can put up there each week. And we might even share some of those in the assembly or in the bulletin or on our Facebook page. We also have a challenge for the children, because our young people, youth and children, called the Luke Challenge. We want our children, our young people, to participate in this, and maybe reading through the New Testament in 9 weeks might be a strong challenge for them in more than one way that they might be able to meet. How about the Luke challenge? All of our children that can read. Parents, if you got little ones that can't read, you can read to them. But take the Luke challenge where they're going to read through the Gospel of Luke in these 9 weeks, in these 63 days. We have at the end here of our church this morning, we have some bookmarks that you'll be able to pick up when you turn in your challenge cards. They have the New Testament challenge bookmark, and it's got the daily schedule on the front and back for the next 9 weeks, starting on September 22nd. And then we have for the Crosstown Student Movement, the youth, and for the Kids for Christ, they have a bookmark, the Luke Challenge, and it'll have this daily schedule there. Basically, for the adults, you're looking at anywhere from 4 to 6 chapters a day. It'll range between 4 to 6 chapters a day. And the way we've arranged this is you're going to be reading a lot from the Gospel of Jesus. And then you're going to be reading from the epistles or from the book of Acts. And so you'll read from the Gospels a couple of chapters, and then you'll also on that same day read some from the book of Acts and from the epistles. Because I think it's important to hear the story of Jesus and then also, as we read, see how that story was played out in the life of the church. And so every day you're going to be reading from the Gospel story and also from the letters of Paul, the New Testament letters, to see how that was played out in the early church and Christians' lives. But we have the New Testament challenge. We have the Luke challenge for our young people. And we hope that you will encourage your kids, help your kids, challenge your kids to participate. By the way, the Luke challenge is going to be neat because it's going to correspond with this next year's LTC is going to be over the Gospel of Luke. So that worked out really good that we can already begin our kids, our young people, reading that. But you can check on that. We're going to provide some family devotionals that you can do each week as a family that will correspond with the reading. If you'd like to do that, we're going to ask you to pray and encourage other members during this challenge. We're going to ask if you would like to send some cards to some of our members who might need encouragement doing this challenge, and all of us being encouraged to do this challenge. We're going to have we have 2 Wednesday night classes that are going to start this fall quarter on Wednesday night. I'm going to be teaching the auditorium class on Can We Really Trust the Bible? It'll be a good class as we look at the evidence of God's Word and how we can trust God's Word. And then we're also going to have a discussion class upstairs, the second adult, where we have a ladies' class, I believe, and then we'll have a discussion class upstairs that's going to be led by various men, and they're going to be going through some questions, guiding questions over each week's readings, and it's going to be a discussion-driven class, a reflection on what you're reading, and that'll be a good encouraging class as well, and we'll be starting that. And so we have a couple of classes to help us in this challenge. So there are hopefully something here you can check this morning. We want to have everyone take the challenge, accept the challenge. We're going to be talking about in a couple of weeks some things to remind ourselves. I'm going to have some sayings that we're going to be reminding ourselves, like read what you can, read something every day, it's a new week, things like that. Don't worry about the parts you don't understand, worry about the parts you do understand. We're going to be talking about this for a couple of weeks as we build momentum to this launch on a Monday, September 22nd, as we as a church read through the New Testament for 9 weeks. We also have linked on our Facebook page, if you are on Facebook, we have a blog that I'll be writing, and it'll have the schedule on there as well. We'll hopefully get that looking good, and you'll be able to link up to that and get the reading schedule as well through our Facebook and through that blog. I'll be writing some blog articles maybe a couple of times a week, just encouraging us if you want to keep up with that. We want to put this in your hands to encourage you, to challenge you, to think about spending time in God's Word. You know, one of the reasons we're doing this in such a challenging way is sometimes we form some bad habits. We form some hard habits. And Jesus, remember in the parable of the sower, described the different soils, the ground that the seed fell upon. Remember, there were some soils there that were not real well prepared to receive the Word. You know, I remember growing up, my grandma and grandpa had a garden there in Mason, Oklahoma, outside, right outside the side of the house. And we would help them plant that garden. And, you know, we'd plant all kinds of seed and all kinds of vegetables and different things. But I always remember the challenge would come around when we'd get ready to get that garden going. We'd have to kind of break the ground, get that ground, the soil ready to plant. And I remember I would get the traditional hoe. And here you go, son, Robert. Rob, take this. Now, later on, Grandma or Grandpa would have the rototiller, and they would, you know, for some reason, we had the hoe, and, you know, you need a heavy instrument sometimes. You know, Oklahoma, we got hard soil, we got hard ground. Sometimes you got to get out the hoe, you got to get out the rototiller to kind of break the ground. I don't think we have hard hearts. I don't think that we're bad Christians, but I think for a lot of us, If Lifeway research would have polled you, if Willow Creek would have done a research poll with you and you would be honest, I think some of those statistics I read would have reflected even our church. Only 19% in that one study found people reading the Bible every day. 36%, a couple times a month. 41% said, outside of church, I don't pick up my Bible. I would like to think that would be really different here at Crosstown, but I'll be honest with you. I don't think it would be much different. I think it would be close. Those statistics would be fairly close in a lot of ways here. And so I think we've got some bad habits. I think we've developed some ruts in some areas spiritually in that area. I think we love the Lord. We want to do what God's Word says, but we haven't cultivated good habits. And we hope that by going through this very extensive challenge for 9 weeks, we will break up some of the bad habits, cultivate the soil, and that so we can indeed receive the Word of God in our hearts, and that you'll develop good spiritual discipline habits, reading the Bible, and some things we're even thinking about next year to kind of accompany this challenge and do next year and going through the whole Bible. But the New Testament challenge, we hope you're up to the challenge to do this. I'm going to come back in just a minute and finish this up, but Ben Carson, one of our elders, is now going to come up and say a word about this.
When Robert first suggested to the elders about doing an all-congregational challenge to read through the New Testament in 9 weeks, we all agreed, all the elders, this would be a great opportunity to have every member spending more time in God's Word. So many times we all make resolutions to change things like our eating habits or start an exercise regimen, but too many times we try to do these on our own and we quickly get discouraged in a relative short amount of time. If there's no one holding us accountable, but if we start with several others doing it with you, you get encouragement and support from all those who are involved. Amen. So what if we do this with a couple hundred brothers and sisters in Christ, cheering each other on to the goal? I believe we can all succeed in this challenge. Each Sunday morning and Wednesday evening, we gather here to worship our God, to listen to His Word. If you come to Bible class, you even have more of an exposure to God's Word. And if you belong to a life group, even more can be learned about our Creator and our Savior. And Rob and our Bible class teachers all do an excellent job in teaching these lessons. But the elders would like to see each member also take an active role in his or her spiritual growth and development on a more daily basis. We read in John 8, verses 31 through 32, and I like the King James Version of this. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The key word in this verse is continue. This means regular feeding on it. Amen. If we continue in his word, we will transform our thinking into his thinking. We all know Satan is alive and busy trying to bring about temptation and sin in each of our lives. Just tune into any news program and you see this world is getting farther and farther away from God. Have you ever felt like the Apostle Paul in Romans 7, verses 15 and 16, he states, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." I believe we all felt like this at one time or another. I know I have. But we read in Psalms 119, verse 11, "I have hidden your word in my heart, that I may not sin against you." The psalmist proclaims that the way to overcome sin is to get the word into our hearts. And this needs to be done with a daily reading and meditating with our Bibles. Another verse I want to use to encourage you to accept this challenge comes from Matthew 4, verses 3 and 4. "The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Jesus used the word as a weapon to fend off the devil's temptations as he memorized and unleashed the right verse that would counter the specific lie Satan was trying to sell him. So again, the elders want to encourage each of you to accept this challenge of getting back to God's word on a daily basis, so we are all equipped to defend ourselves from our daily temptations. I read it usually takes doing something for around 66 days in a row for it to become a habit. This challenge is 9 weeks. So let's all form a habit of reading God's word every day. Also, our children will also have a reading challenge that was mentioned, reading through the book of Luke, with the same time frame as the adults. Here again is another opportunity for mothers and fathers and grandparents to set the example for your children and your grandkids. In fact, we want to encourage setting aside time each night and read God's word together as a family. If they are real young, you can read it to them. Amen. One of the earliest memories as my childhood, even before I could read, was my mother setting me and my brothers down and reading the Bible stories to us as a family. Let's make some memories for our children and grandchildren to pass on. A habit that becomes a tradition in each of our families, let's make this challenge not a have to, but a want to. Want to know our God and Savior better. Want our children to be equipped to protect themselves from a world that seems to be pulling farther and farther away from God. Lastly, in the book of Jeremiah 15, verse 16, states, "When your words came out, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight." By eating physical food, we are supplied with nutrients we need to be healthy and live our physical lives. When we miss a meal or two, we feel weak, tired, and if we continue to miss meals, we become susceptible to even a greater problem like illness. Similarly, when we eat spiritual food, we are supplied spiritually to live our Christian lives. But when we're away from God's word for a while, we become spiritually weak, tired and susceptible to temptation and other spiritual sickness. It is important, therefore, that we get supplied by reading and feeding on God's word every day. I had an advance on the time schedule of our challenge, and I took the first day of September 22nd and read it last night. It took me 12 minutes to read the first day, and I'm not a fast reader, but I'm not a slow reader, so I'm about average. Mm-hmm. And so many people spend more time reading a menu at a restaurant. Mm. So please don't think that you have to hurry through it, because we want you to spend time to get to know God's word and meditate on it. So please, won't you accept this challenge, and let's all read God's word together.
Thank you, Ben. You know, we have these bookmarks, and if you're ready to accept the challenge at the close of the end of service after the prayer and closing song, we'll have some down here as you're leaving. If you go out the front, you can turn your card in to one of our ministers or any of the elders. We'll have some in the back. We have a little tray in the back on the table in the foyer. It says, "Return the challenge cards here." And so you can put those in that tray as well. A couple of us will be in the back as well to take those. And you can pick up your bookmarks today. We'll make more of these available as well. We'll put some out on some larger sheets as well if you would like. Again, we have this on our Facebook page linked up to a blog that that I have created that will have that those challenge readings on there. Just a quick word about the... I've divided this into nine themes, the reading challenge. Over the course of this 9 weeks, each week is going to have a theme. So when we start on September 22nd and we go down to that first week, the first 13, 14 chapters of Matthew and the first 20-so chapters of Acts, the theme is going to be salvation. And again, we'll have some of those on some larger sheets as well. But I've divided this into nine themes throughout these 9 weeks. And what I plan to do every week from the pulpit is to share a message that will reinforce that theme of salvation or love or transformation or unity or the better way or hope. And so that's kind of the idea, and the sermons will reinforce those themes. Again, we're going to have some family devotional guides that we'll put out here in the next week or so that you can pick up and take home as a family. This discussion class on Wednesday nights is going to be a great class to kind of go through some discussion questions about the previous week's reading schedule and to share observations. Again, the soap challenge, we're going to have even something out on a board out in the foyer that you can stick up there on planks, these different color cards that'll coordinate with the soap challenge. And we want to share those, and we want to let folks know what the Word of God is doing in their life. And as we go through this reading challenge, we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you in email or on our Facebook page. We want you to do those cards if you can, because we want to share with you and with everyone else what we have already stated. The Word of God is powerful. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that is proportionally, is what that passage is saying. The more we have the Word of God, it corresponds to the faith that we'll have. And we believe that with all of our heart. And so we hope that you will take this challenge, the New Testament challenge. We're excited about it. This is going to be a fun challenge. It's not going to be easy. But as Ben said, we're going to encourage each other over the course of those 9 weeks and encourage everybody on to this challenge. The passage in 1 Peter chapter 2, we just have a few moments here. I want you to look at this passage. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Notice what the Apostle Peter here says. As he's writing to these Christians and he's telling them that they can be what God wants them to be, they can live holy, dedicated lives. They are built into a spiritual temple. They are spiritual priests of God. He tells them something very important. He says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, "Therefore rid yourself of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind." That is, we got to get rid of some things first to receive the Word of God, to be developing as Christians. We got to get rid of malice and deceit and hypocrisy. We got to get out some things out of our heart. And then he tells us, so that verse 2, like newborn babes. You know what's interesting there? He uses the word there for that brand new infant. He could have just used a word for babies. He could have said that. But he uses the specific word as newborn babies, as brand new infants. You need to crave or long or desire the pure spiritual milk of God's Word so that you may grow up in your salvation. You see there the proportion again? You grow up in your salvation spiritually in proportion to your desire and craving the spiritual milk of God's Word. That's what we're saying. It's that simple this morning. We will grow spiritually. We will grow spiritually, numerically, even as a congregation, I believe, when we become a people who are consumed with the Word of God and putting it into practice and living it. But he says, crave that as a newborn babe. And I'll tell you, we've even had some new babies have been born recently at Crosstown. It's exciting. Justin and I went up and saw one this past week with the Frazier baby, and it's exciting to see mom holding baby, and there's just nothing more precious. And I'm telling you, when that baby is born, I've had three. They desire to one thing. They want to latch on to mom. They want to feed. They just cry out. They pitch a fit. And I mean, they can't be satisfied with anything else until they get their what they need, that the milk. And here Peter says, we're to be like that spirit, that newborn babe. Now later on, the Bible will talk about sometimes you don't grow as a Christian and you stay as an infant. That's not what Peter's talking about here. He's not talking about that. Later on, other passages will say we need to grow up. We don't need to stay as spiritual infants or spiritual babies. We need to grow into maturity. Peter is not making that point. He's saying every Christian always has a deep craving and longing for the Word of God. Just like a baby, a brand new baby, cries out, wants to latch on to their mother to be fed, we as Christians always are longing the Word of God, the spiritual milk of God's Word. And he says that is the way we grow up in our salvation. And I really believe if we will do this challenge, if we will take this challenge, we will see a difference in our lives. We will see it individually. That's why we want to hear from you. We want to hear from your stories, your comments, some of these the devotional cards we're going to have. We want to hear from you because we believe you're going to start to see a transformation as you spend time with God and His Word every day. We believe you're going to see some transformation as you reflect on God's glory, and we also believe it'll cause us to share Christ with others as we go through the New Testament challenge. You know, we believe what God's Word says. There's an interesting passage in Isaiah chapter 55. Turn over there, it'll be our last scripture. Isaiah 55. You know, God's own testimony. God gives His own testimony about what His Word will do. In Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. Notice what He says here. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 and 11. The prophet says, God says, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. We understand that. We understand what the rain and the showers of the earth give to the land. They are able to produce crops and harvest and planting of seed. He says, in the same way, verse 11, so is my word that it goes out of my mouth and it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent. We believe that, church, that if we will spend time with God's word, it will cultivate in us new habits. It will cause a transformation in our life because the very purpose of God's word is to do just that. Is to change us, to renew our minds, to transform our thinking, our heart, to lead us to behave in ways. God's Word has the power to do that. And I believe with all of my heart, God's Word is not going to come back empty. If we as a church will plant the seed of God's Word, do this reading together, I believe we'll see a new life in our lives spiritually, a transformation. And I believe as our church, we will start to see the growth that we desire. The elders, myself, we desire to see those numbers grow numerically. But folks, there's no easy shortcuts around it. We've got to be a people who are engaged in God's Word. And we believe this will be the catalyst for that. So this isn't a quick fix. This is just a beginning of a transformation, we hope. We'll take our congregation to another level. You have that responsibility. I have that responsibility. May God help us and encourage each other to take this challenge. Let's say a prayer and we'll offer the invitation. Father, we thank you so very much for all that you've done. Father, we thank you for your incredible, powerful word. Father, it is such a gift to us. But Father, if we're honest this morning, we have shared some of these studies that I've shared this morning from some very reliable religious groups that have studied and researched, Father, people who claim a faith in you. And Father, the data supports that people of faith are not spending time in your word. Father, if we're honest with ourselves this morning, we probably would confess that to some degree this morning, that we don't spend enough time in your word. Maybe for some of us a few hours a week, maybe an hour. But Father, maybe for many of us outside of our gathering in this location, we may never open up your word. And Father, that is such a shame. It's robbing ourselves, cheating ourselves of the spiritual blessings that you have in store for us, of a transformed life that's awaiting us, Father. Father, we believe what you said to your prophet Isaiah, that your word will not come back empty. That, Father, it will accomplish the purpose for which you send it. And Father, we pray as Christians here, as this we're taking this New Testament challenge as a congregation at Crosstown, that, Father, we will allow your word to shape us, to mold us, to cultivate in us new habits, Father, even new attitude and new hearts even. And Father, that we will indeed be, as we reflect on your glory, we'll see a transformation in our lives and we'll see a greater commitment to want to share you in Christ with others in the gospel. Father, be with us as we go through these weeks, as we prepare in the next couple of weeks to accept this challenge. I pray for any hearts that are on the fence. Father, we pray for minds to be open and for people to be resolved to want to accept this challenge, Father. Father, we're just so thankful for your inspired word. We're thankful for what it does for us. And Father, may each of us accept this challenge. May we encourage others in the coming weeks to indeed take this challenge of reading your word, the New Testament. Father, we are so thankful for your Spirit. And Father, as we read your word, we know that we tap into the working of your Spirit to shape us and mold us and transform us, Father, in the image of Jesus. And we pray that we'll be open to the Spirit's work through your word. Father, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us when we have failed to appreciate your word, to study your word, to even open your word, Father, maybe outside of our assembly. Help us to develop with this New Testament challenge new habits that will be with us the rest of our life. We offer this prayer in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Well, again, our lesson's a little bit different this morning. If you're a visitor with us, I hope it impresses you at least in this sense, that we have such a desire and longing to do what God's Word says, and that we want to commit that if we haven't been doing this, if we haven't been reading God's Word, studying God's Word, allowing it to change our attitude, our life, that when we get evidence maybe that this isn't going on, we want to change that. We don't want to just hold up our Bibles on Sunday morning only and then keep them closed the rest of the week. And so we're committing ourselves to this, but maybe you're here this morning and you realize that you haven't been living as you need to live. Maybe as a Christian, you haven't been desiring the Word of God like a newborn babe desires the pure milk. You haven't been desiring God and His Word. Maybe you're outside of Jesus and you need to come to the gospel of Jesus Christ that'll transform you and change you through your obedience to the gospel, put Christ on in the waters of baptism. Whatever your need is this morning, if we can help you, come as we stand and sing.